In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today's Gospel is, I think, one of the most important for us to live faithfully, joyfully, and well at a time in which there is much legitimately to be concerned about. In society, there are many who are trying to force lots of things contrary to the Christian faith upon believers. Within the church, we have seen in just the last weeks prominent European prelates giving interviews in which they are advocating for major changes to the Christian deposits of faith. We are troubled by what seems to be some church officials' hostility toward the traditional liturgy, while the same officials say and do nothing whatsoever about liturgical abuses that border on mockery of the Mass. So many are tempted to spend their energy, attention, resources, and even lives to try to slam on the brakes of culture with regard to trends that can't but be seen as negative by the light of faith, as several talented Catholics do on the internet, criticizing one person or things after another. But that's why what Jesus teaches us in the Gospel is so important. That's why we have to pay really close attention and put what he says into practice, because many otherwise faithful Catholics don't. By means of the parable of the wheat and weeds, Jesus teaches us how to live, not just in our time, but in every time. When there are wheat and weeds growing up together, intertwined in the kingdom. To understand Jesus' message, we first must grasp the facts that Jesus was presupposing in his moral story. In the Holy Land, still today, the wheat and the weeds to which Jesus was referring still grow. They are indistinguishable during the early phases of growth, and not even expert farmers can tell the difference. When they grow enough to be differentiated, their roots are so intertwined that you cannot take out the weeds without ripping out the wheat by the roots as well. So farmers need to let them grow, harvest them all, and then separate them on sifting tables, lest the wheat be contaminated by the toxic fruit of the weeds. By this parable, Jesus is saying first that the same patience and prudence that farmers exercise must be employed with regard to believers in his kingdom. The good seed and the bad seed, the children living according to the kingdom and those living according to other standards, grow up side by side. Sometimes in the same field, the same home, the same parish, the same neighborhood. We really cannot tell the difference between them by sight, especially early in life. We cannot judge by present appearances. We need to wait until the end, when Jesus himself and his angels will do the separation. This is an important corrective for many faithful people today. Usually, God does not punish the sinner immediately. He gives him time and offers his grace to bring him to repentance. Like the zealous servants in the parable, many still think that the Lord wants us urgently to go into the fields out to pull up all the weeds, to find all the children of the evil one, expose and in some fashion eradicate them, lest they poison the wheat, the children of the kingdom, the good people. But Jesus, without minimizing the evil being done, is not concerned primarily with the weeds. Jesus' priority is the growth of the wheat. He doesn't want any of the good wheat lost by acting too soon, too fast, too summarily. We all know that there are some people who spend more time trying to out and oppose heretics than they do learning or teaching catechism. They obsess about opposing sinners than they do about becoming saints. They want to purify the church of those who are not faithful rather than focusing on inspiring others toward conversion by the example of their own joyful and merciful faith and fidelity. Jesus today shows us that he wants us to prioritize the growth of the weeds more than seeking to eliminate the weeds. In today's epistle, God tells us through St. Paul the type of wheat he wants us to produce. Heartfelt compassion. A mercy then comes from the heart, not a calculated charity. Kindness, especially to those who others might think don't deserve it. Humility, so that we see ourselves as God's and others' true servants. Gentleness, especially to those who are particularly sensitive, rather than bulldozing others. Patience, putting up with others' tardiness and troublesomeness, like God is patient with us. Bearing one another and forgiving one another as God has forgiven us. Love, or unconquerable benevolence for others. Peace, which comes from being in right relationship with God and in Him with others. Gratitude, because it's right always and everywhere to give God thanks and praise. Living in the world of Christ and becoming living of it. Teaching and admonishing one another, passing on the faith with clarity and joy, praying with gratitude in our hearts to God, because our faith should lead us to burst out with zeal to God, even if we are not good singers, and doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's the type of life that will produce good fruit. That's the type of existence to which God calls us and for which he wants to help us. Jesus is also saying that we should not be so flustered or discouraged when we find bad seed in the world, in the church, that we lose our focus on producing fruit. Guess what? We will always, sadly, find those who are not living consistently with the gospel. Among the Catholics of our family and neighborhood, among those who teach, even among those who, as clergy and religious, are supposed to be living by the highest standards of all. But Jesus is telling us that while there will be some bad seed, and while such weeds can provide frustration for the farmer or for the Christian, they ultimately cannot stop the growth of the good seed. They cannot stop the growth of the good seed. Jesus is also giving us an important lesson of conversion. If we try to separate the wheat from the weeds now, we will end up losing some of the wheat, especially those who really are or will become wheat, who right now would appear to be weeds. If the harvest were done too quickly, there would have been a time when the future Saint Paul would have been thrown into the fire before he had evangelized the ancient world. Same for the future Saint Mary Madeleine, and so more. And so many of us. So many of us would have been lost before absolution. Because, as we confessed, beating our chest at the beginning of Mass, all of us have greatly sinned by our own most grievous fault. If others were as impetuous as we sometimes are, and as the disciples in the gospel were, we may have already been cut down ourselves. We might not have had the present time to bear fruits that will last, to become the wheat of God. And we must never forget that God can always work moral miracles. Just as God himself took on human nature, just as the same God takes bread and wine and totally transforms them in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, so he can take weeds and make them wheat. He can take those who are living far from God, those who are living as the children of the liar and the murderer from the beginning, and change them into sons of God in the house of the Father. It is in union with him that we grow in heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, gratitude, receptivity to the word of God, the capacity to teach and correct with a charity, joy, and the ability to do everything in his name, because we are in communion with his very person. This is a path for us to shine eternally like the sun in the kingdom of his Father. Dear friends, if we strive to live like that, I promise we will be able to deal with and triumph over all the evil and suffering that comes our way. Christ did it, and he assures us that we also can do it with his grace if we follow him, if we imitate him. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.